Thank you. Thank you. Ah, Jesus, thank you. Yeah, sit down. Stop. Enough. You guys are too much fun. Oh my goodness, that was the most off-the-wall offering. That was really fun. I was a little uncomfortable. No, I'm learning. I'm learning how to receive. I love to give. Some people are great givers and then they have a hard time receiving. Hey, we got people in heavenly places. Hey! Wow. Awesome. I couldn't see you last night. It's a little better. I can see you up there. You're all smiling. That's cool. So, wow. Yeah. That was fun. It's fun here. You know, sometimes pastors, they don't realize it's happening, but you can get tricked. We as pastors can get tricked into just trying to have better services to where people are attracted and want to come. And you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you forget to empower people to be something different when they leave, we're missing the point of why we come. Our goal is not to have more awesome... It sounds so right. We have more awesome visits where God attends and meets us. But there has to be a ministering of truth that brings freedom to our life. You'll never replace a lie without truth. And honestly, we were trained by the wisdom of the world our whole lives. We were trained by the way that seemeth right to a man. Let's just face that. We didn't learn from Jesus. We learned from our parents. We learned from hearsay. We learned from shop conversations. We learned from books, movies. There was a general way that seems right to a man that we all acquired and learned and functioned very well in. True? The only way to replace a lie, and honestly, it's not that everything was a lie, it's just that some things aren't completely true. So a half-truth is actually way more dangerous than a lie. Because you can't detect the half-truth because it's half-true. A lie you can expose. Sometimes a half-truth, just people buy into that, and it doesn't produce life. And here's what I'm trying to say right now. There's a weapon of your and my warfare that is mighty in the breaking down of strongholds. There's wrong believing that we acquired our whole lives about ourselves, about others, about God. How'd we get it about God? Because we weighed life, we viewed life, we observed life, and defined Him through the outcomes of life. Instead of take a good, sincere, humble, teachable look into His Word, look at His Son, and find Him through here. You don't find Him through here. In fact, if you read your Bible, a lot of the things you're finding here have nothing even to do with God. And yet we're taught that everything that happens is God, and it's not scriptural. Not scriptural. It says men are reaping what they sow. It's men are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The power of death and life is in your tongue. So we sow, reap. We don't get understanding. We don't study to show ourselves approved, and things unfold and catch us off guard. We speak death when He's wanting life, and then things have, we have outcomes, and we just turn and not say, I don't know why God did that. I don't know why God let that happen. I don't know why. And make sure you stay a million miles away from that deception, because it skews your view from God. And when you don't see Him clear, you won't draw near to Him. You with me? See, all these strategies are in place to keep you from drawing near to Him. They're lies, they're twists, they're deceptions. They're there to keep a man's heart hard, to keep him proud in his opinion, to keep from him ever truly seeking and thinking he already understands. If you don't have a clear view of God, why would you ever approach Him with a humble heart? Why would you ever have intimacy with someone you can't see clear and understand? Come on, that's in the world, that's a fling at best. I honestly believe there's so many strategies that are set to distort the gospel, crush the gospel. And a lot of it has to do with the image of God. We talk about our image a lot, but make sure your image of God is so healthy through the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't just read the Old Testament and come out with some view of God. Understand that all the old is pointing to the new, and that the old is men under sin and under the law without the blood, without blood speaking better things. It's not the new covenant, it's the old. It's man apart from God. Don't forget that. You say, well, God's killing people. God's judging people. God. No, no, sin's doing that. People are reaping what they're sowing. They're under the law of sin and death. God's not schizophrenic. He's not like one day killing people and the other day saying, you know, I think I'll let them live. He's not.
That's right.
Let's stop that. He would never send His Son if He wasn't good and didn't want to love us and restore us and redeem us. Time goes by and generations pass and there's a clear message sent, supposed to be, of what life looks like apart from God. Yeah? Man, you read Judges, you read some of these books in the Bible, it's a tragic day. Like, the people are living and they're in bondage for a long, long time, and then they cry out to God, hey, we're in bondage, please help, have mercy. Ah, sorry, we gave ourselves to other gods, please help. And God raised up a deliverer and set them free, and it says, and Israel enjoyed freedom for X amount of time, and then in no time they're back to the gods, the high places, and that isn't you guys, you are in heavenly places, the high places. And next thing you know, they're back in bondage for another 100 years, and help God, oh, and it's a terrible storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understand when you're reading the Bible, the whole focal point of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's there right from the beginning. He's there right from the beginning. Nothing was made that wasn't made through Him in the beginning. It's a strange word. It's an amazing word. You can't wrap your mind around it. You can't grab it with your intellect. When you look up the word beginning, it means a point in time that goes back and back and back to where there is no beginning. That's the word beginning. Whoa. In the beginning, okay. And then our little finite minds, well, what did He tell me? Well, where did God come from? What? He just always was? Well, who made God? Well, how come? And we just... Oh, shh. You know, the Bible says men will mock and scoff the things they don't understand. It's amazing what human pride does. If you don't understand, you probably shouldn't say a thing. But pride thinks it knows, so it mocks and scoffs what it doesn't understand. Ain't that something? Watch this. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Quick to listen. That's what the Bible calls us to. Guess what most of us has been our whole lives? Don't want to hear it. Ticked off. Got a whole lot to say. Come on, if you know it's true. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Quick to listen. Isn't it strange that we grew up, don't want to hear it, really ticked off, got a whole lot to say. I covered some of this yesterday. Love lays down its life for another. And we've all got trapped living at the expense of one another, even those we say we love. Because honestly, love has gotten reduced to, I need you. We say I love you, but we prove I need you. Because I can just as quick be ticked off at you, angry at you, frustrated at you, and turn myself away from you if need be. But you say I love you. And love doesn't seek its own. And love takes no account of a suffered wrong. And love never fails. So how do you fall in and out of love? I think we've been trained by lies. I think we've been trained by movies and emotions and sentiment and sensuality. Yeah? And I believe the three words that have caused more pain on the planet are I love you. Because people are so vulnerable to it because they need to believe they're lovable. And somebody saying I love you doesn't prove you're lovable. Jesus hanging on the cross proves you're lovable. Yeah? Because He didn't fight you. He didn't argue with you. He didn't shout you down. While you were yet a sinner, He came and gave His life and said, I think a whole lot more than what you understand. I think a whole lot more of you than what you understand of you. That's what He's saying when He's hanging on the cross. I've known you from the beginning. I know why you're here. I know why God made you. I know your destiny. I know your root value. I know your purpose. I know your legacy. And it's worth dying for. So here's my life. Will you take mine and let it live inside of you? I'll give my life for your life. Yeah? But he's not asking you to die. He's asking you to live in him. Come on, man. It flakes me out. I'm just done with false humility, and we're worms in the dirt, and it's a wonder God considers us, and we're barely saved. And he shed his blood and died on the cross while you're yet a sinner. He has to know a higher value for you. He has to see a greater purpose for you. There's something he has to know that we maybe haven't seen. And because we grew up in lies, because all these things have taught us who we are and what we're worth all along the way. Come on, everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. From the time you can remember, you needed loved, appreciated, stability, security. And a lot of those things weren't there for a lot of us. So it started to fashion us and decide who we were at a very young age. And at a very young age, you were nothing more than how you responded to how it unfolded. They laugh at you when you're little and you realize they're laughing at you for the first time. And all of a sudden you're self-conscious and you feel ashamed. And right there you're faced with either becoming introverted and broken or hard and a fighter. But none of that is you. It's how you're responding in the face of lies. It's how you're responding in the lack of love. And all of a sudden it's molding you and pottering you and fashioning you. And it has nothing to do with the Lord and nothing to do with the real you. And the whole goal of the enemy is that when you finally hear the good news, you can't receive it because there's nothing good about you, or people don't really care, or your life doesn't matter, or you've gone too far. And they're lies from hell. Why? You were yet a sinner. He sent his son. Sorry, I'm so aggressive. It has nothing to do with me. You say, oh, you can get to it. You don't understand. I don't have a preaching style. I don't have a strategy. I'm not a psychologist. This thing comes on me. Sometimes I don't even like it or want it. But it comes on me and I don't fight it. And I just believe it's his heart. I believe it's his aggression. I believe he doesn't like lies. And I believe he sees what it does to people that he treasures and values and shed blood for. And he lives in truth and he's light. And then the people he treasures are going to succumb to darkness and he's light. And you're created to live in the light and walk in the light as he's in the light. And let your light so shine. The light ain't shining when you're believing lies. You're made for the light. The Bible says the eye. The eye, your perspective, the way you see and what you see is the lamp of your body. Your perspective determines you. Where you live from this way determines what this looks like. And you can see what a man believes and understands by the way he conducts his life. That's why out of the heart the mouth speaks. What's inside comes out. This thing is a little more personal than a puppet show, but it's kind of like a puppet show. God gave man a body to act out and flesh out what's on the inside. And you know them by their fruit. Ain't that something? And there's this war going on. There's this competition going on. Because we're made for the image of God. I found it in the Bible. You're not talking me out of it. Nobody's trying to. I'm not talking to you personally. I mean in general. You're not talking me out of this. God made man with intention. You didn't come from a tadpole, a mud puddle, a bang, or a monkey. God said, let us make man in our image. He wasn't so full of life and profuse with life and bored one day playing with the soil of the earth and sneezed and a man jumped in his hands. We're not happenstance. You're made intentionally with purpose and destiny. You have job description, value, identity in the day you were created. That got lost through sin. It has to get regained through Christ. This is more than bless me, Lord. Answer my prayer. Heal my body. Fill my bank account. It's caused me to be restored back to what you intended from the beginning through the blood of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Change my life into what you paid for and what you desired in the first place. Come on, that's the gospel. And I'm talking straight and strong. Anything else is a piece of the gospel. You be honest, how many of us have been in this thing a long time and didn't realize it and only were living a piece of the gospel? And in all you're getting, get understanding. Why? Because you're destroyed for what you don't understand, but yet you grew up with a language that said, what you don't know won't hurt you. It's a lie. It's a lie. What you don't know is destroying you, taking advantage of you, eating your lunch. Well, what you see is what you get. It's a lie. Don't you ever live by what you see. It's subject to change. The things that are unseen are eternal. Well, you made your bed, you sleep in it. It's a lie. He brings redemption, makes a brand new bed, gives you new life, puts clean sheets, and says, sleep tight, son. He doesn't give you what you deserve. He gives you what he paid for. And it's life through Jesus Christ. You deserve death and he gives you life. You deserve judgment and he makes peace. He's amazing. He's possessed me. He has. And all I got time to do is love him and love you. Yeah, you don't even have to believe me. Time will tell. I'm telling the truth. You don't have no ability to frustrate me, upset me, break my heart. I did not wake up to get anything from you. You have no ability to get on my nerves. I have new nerves. I live from a new eye. And not self-righteous. I'm not judgmental. I'm not going to be a high place and look down on you. And just because I prefer something different than you, I'm not going to make you less than my preference. That's pride. That's judgment. That's self-righteous. Yeah. Man, are we okay? Or am I too ridiculous? Because this thing's raging in me. I don't know what's wrong. It's somebody's fault. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Are you guys okay? Can you tell I'm not like mad at you, right? Just because my voice is stern. I'm passionate about truth, and I don't like lies because I see what it does to people made for God's image. Yeah. It grates on me. Why? Because you have value. You're worth the blood of Jesus. Yes. You're not talking me out of it. You're worth the blood of Jesus. He died to redeem your life. Yes. Period. It's not up for discussion. I believe that. Yes. So I'm going to see you through that truth. And the eye is the lamp of the body. Watch. Remember I said you're made for the light? Watch. If your eye is single, your whole body is flooded with light. It doesn't say unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues and your best friend just cheated on you and broke your heart and did something you thought and your spouse just... and you just lost your job and your car ain't running all in the same week. It doesn't say that. It says if you see clear, you'll be clear. It doesn't say yeah, unless, of course. Well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. Stop, stop, stop selling cheap. Stop, stop. He's not talking about what you're going through right now. He's talking about what you see. Because the only way you'll get through what you're going through is seeing clear. And if you let what you're going through change who you are, then what you're going through is Lord. Because Lord means supreme being, the governing factor, the ruling factor, the supreme. What determines you? Lord. Yeah? So if you're only as good as it's going, that's deception, that's idolatry. You're letting things matter more than what matters most. If you're only doing as good as your circumstances, you have understanding to gain. You're doing as good as He is in you, and you respond to your circumstances through that higher truth. That's why you're not dismayed. That's why you're not bewildered. That's why you don't grow weary in well-doing. That's why you walk in a manner worthy of Him, and you run the race worthy of a prize. Come on, these are all scriptures. So if that's not fueled by truth, then we're into works and we're going to fail and we're done anyway. Man, are you all right? I feel like a wild man right now. I don't know what's wrong. Somebody's fault. Am I talking too fast? Are you grabbing this? Good, good. It's just on me. Can you tell I'm not prepared for this? Can you tell I'm way off my notes because I didn't have any anyway? I never have notes. Can you tell that I can't have this all pre-planned? I didn't go, what were we at your in-law's home? I ran in there and said hi to my wife via text and talked to her on three texts and switched out my clothes and we got virtually back in the car and came back here. Yeah. I talked with people nonstop after the service, barely made it to your in-laws to change, and came right back here at 5 of 7.
Yep.
I get up here and have no clue what we're going to say. Turn on the mic and turn into a madman. It's not my fault. It's the stuff I pray. It's what I believe. I'm honored that you would let me speak. I don't have a need to speak. I'm humbled by it. I'm not finding my identity through preaching to you. I could be home and be just as blessed. I'm here because I want to be, not because I have to be. I want to be here. That's different than having to be here. I would love to tell you Jesus came in my bedroom and said, "Go to Grove Community." It didn't happen like that. I'd love to tell you that, but I'd be lying, and that wouldn't be Christian. So I'm not going to tell you that. I'm here because I want to be. I'm here because what I'm preaching, I believe. I believe it's true. I believe it's true for you, and I believe it'll transform lives and make a difference across the board, and in the end, we'll be glad we ran well, and we'll celebrate and rejoice in the gift that we had called faith. Yeah? Whew. So wonder if I actually really believe this and I'm not a minister. I think we just get weird with this thing and we're doing like, this is not my job. This is not even my way of living. That's why I didn't come here for an offering. You were freaking me out a little bit just because it's so not my heart. But he's so loving. If you get to know him, you can hardly like, you can't. He didn't come close. But I've stopped probably, oh, wow. I probably stop 8-10 pastors a year when they're receiving an offering from me and take nothing because of the way they took the offering without exposing them and without them even knowing what I did. Because it violates me. Because I'm not here for that. He didn't do that. He's just nice and he's easy to love. And he had me nervous because I was like, "Lord, I don't want to have to shut him down. Please don't let him cross any lines." Oh, I was nervous. But did you see me? You're just so gentle, though. You're such a nice guy. And I'm like, I like him so much, Lord. Please don't make me shut him down. Please don't. See, because some pastors compel for an offering and we want to send him in a manner worthy. Labor's worth is hired. Nobody hired me! Stop using that scripture! I'm not even laboring. I'm having the time of my life. Do I look like I'm sacrificing? Thank you for coming. You don't have to thank me. I'm here because I want to be. I just rolled out and hugged my wife on Friday. I'll hug her Sunday night. I'm out of bed 2 nights a week. I get to be with you beautiful people that are sincere and hungry for God. My life is like a gift. She doesn't even have time to miss me. I leave for 2 days just so things can calm down. But I'm coming back. I'll be back. Welcome to Hey Honey. I'm home. I'm here because I want to be. I just believe it's right to get my plane tickets. I believe it's right to cover expenses. I don't think the church has to do that. Because the last church you're at, you know what they say? We're going to take an offering for Dan. Bless God, he's here. Somebody empowered him to get here. We want to empower him to get to the next place. That's what they say everywhere I go. So then they take the offering, and I go to the next church, and they cover all my expenses? Well, then why'd you empower me to get there? So what do I do with the empowerment? Just turn it into personal income? not going to happen. I use what you gave to empower me to get there. So I won't let a church reimburse me. I don't turn in expenses. I buy my own plane tickets. I will pay for the own hotel. Last week I paid for my hotel and somebody else's hotel, so the ministry wasn't burdened with the expense. And I was honored to preach. And at the end I said, listen, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me in the room. I'm not taking a penny. Whatever you were going to give me, if you want to split it between the psalmist and bless the girls and the musicians, have at it, but do what you seem best. I am taking nothing from this church. And then people try to preach giving sermons to me. I already read my Bible. One of the biggest lines to say is, well, brother, you need to receive it. You ain't robbing us of our blessing. And I'm like, if you're giving me for your blessing, why don't you stop being self-centered and don't give anymore until you get your part right? You're just giving to get? That's weird. Well, you ain't robbing me of my blessing. I think you're already robbed by just the way you're thinking. You give because you love. You give because you appreciate. You give because you sincerely want to empower. You're so kind. He did this crazy offering thing. I couldn't cut him off. I was like, well, you got me nervous. The only time you got me nervous is when he brought up the plane ticket and that's a setup and whoa. And I'm like, oh no. Could you tell I was nervous?
I saw your face.
I was nervous. Yeah, I was like a cat. I was going to spring on you. Now. You don't know how many times I've done it. A pastor gets on that tune and crosses a line to my conscience and I'll stand up and cry. Pastor, I'm so sorry to put you in this business. Pastor, listen, I should have said something sooner. It's been on my heart just sitting here that I should just... That's just... Man, I'm not here for an offering. Don't preach giving. Guys, I know you love and you want to give and some of you feel like you're already supposed to give. But listen, let's not do that. In fact, you have a building fund. Let's pour it into that. I don't feel like I'm here for an offering, and don't anybody try to preach to me. I'm following my conscience, what I believe is the Lord. Man, I'm just blessed to be here. And I'll sit down, the pastor will go, okay, well. And I thought, man, I don't want to put Josh in that situation. But he didn't put me there. He actually did good. I was blessed by your little offering thing. I thought, Lord, this is fun. I almost gave to myself. I just wanted to participate. I just almost gave to myself. I was in a church one time and they had this offering and I said, Lord, I want to sow into this church. I just want to sow into this church. I feel like that's just something I feel it's in my heart. I don't think you're saying it, but I can do that, right? And I got up and I took out some money and I went over and I put it in the basket and everybody's looking at me and I went and sat down. Pastor told me later, he said, you know, you gave to yourself. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we have a policy that on this offering, every penny goes to you. I said, I put that in there for you. So we need to count it out, man. We need to get it out. But he said, everybody was chuckling because you got up and gave to yourself. He said, I guess you wanted a bigger offering. I'm like, stop it. I was in one church. They made me sit on a chair because I became friends with them and they knew me. And the pastor knew that it would make me squirm and that there's a weakness actually in my life in receiving at times. It's probably the area that's probably the only area that I'm aware of that I really have struggled with and have mishandled sometimes along the way is receiving. In the financial way. So he made me sit on a chair. I wouldn't have had to. He didn't force me, but I was trying to, and he told me, you know the Lord's dealing with you in humility and how to receive. So we're just going to help it. We're going to give you an object lesson. We're just going to give you an assignment. And I said, what? He said, we're going to do this offering that our people love. We have a wild song we play, and it's about loving and giving. I never seen anything like it. They set me on a chair, and I held a basket. And I said, Pastor, I can't do this. And he said, exactly, that's why you're in the chair, because you can't do it. So it's time to do it and get a breakthrough. He said, these people love you. And they're like, we love you. We're going to give to you, dude. Like, I'm sitting there with a basket in a chair. They turned on the CD and it was some wild music, man. And these guys were dancing and spinning and coming up and blessing me and throwing money in the basket. It was like, I was like, oh, freaked me out. So nobody's going to pull that on me again. Crazy stuff. People have done some crazy stuff. Now, I appreciate you guys. You're a lot of fun. You have no idea how I've enjoyed being here and getting to know leadership and you. I honor you guys. We had a great talk at lunch, I think. It just felt good. This thing I started out with, it's the eye, it's the lamp of the body, this perspective, the weapon of our warfare, mighty, raised up in lie. And we were talking at lunch, it was just beautiful. I said, guys, you got to stay true to the vision of why you're here. If you don't keep it in front of the people, they won't continue to run in it, and you have to continue to keep it in front of the people so it just doesn't become their language, but it actually begins to become their life. It's not Christianese. We're not learning a language. Just because we can quote it doesn't mean we've become it. In fact, that's religion, and that's detrimental to people's lives. They think because they can teach it, they're living it. No, when you live it, you can really teach it. Meaning with authority where heaven backs it. If I'm just preaching Bible knowledge, I'm stirring your intellect. If I'm preaching out of Revelation, it's going to get into your heart. It's going to reproduce after its own kind. You can study your Bible and teach a sermon. Anybody in this room can study your Bible and actually teach a sermon, whether you believe it or not. I promise you. But you have to be careful because knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. To have the authority of heaven to preach that thing into the hearts of men, it has to become your life. You only speak out of who He is in your life. You don't speak out of your Bible study. You speak out of the revelation that you're living in. That's why I can't hold back passion. That's why I tell stories with so much, and it's just because it's life to me. It's not a Bible story. It's not Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It's not David and Goliath. It's my own story. It's my own revelation. He's the fourth man in the fire. He's the Lord. You say, man, I see passion in you. And sometimes you think it's because everything's going so great all the time in your life and like God has just made glassy seas in front of your steps. No, the reason you seek passion is because of fire, and He's Lord and faithful, and He delivers you out of it all. A lot of the passion you see in me is adversity. It's things that have come to try to deceive and destroy and cut into and take away. And you don't budge and you don't move because He's steadfast. You don't move. And it puts passion in you. And you come through a season of witchcraft and attempts and things that are trying to kill you and all kinds of stuff I could tell you. And you don't change because you don't love your own life unto death. And you have to know Him at all cost. And you're not letting go. You're holding on. You're not complaining and you're not crying and you're not living in fear because you didn't get saved for better circumstances. You got saved to become like Him. You got saved to be transformed. You got saved for the mighty Spirit of God to live in you and love through you and flow through you. That's why you got saved, I hope. Because if you got saved for you, life is eating you up. If you got saved for your own well-being, then you're only as good as things are going right now. And the next time I see you, you'll only be as good as it's going right then. And life will decide you instead of the giver of it. See, that even makes the babies cry. Don't do it. The babies perceive how bad that is. I'm sorry, honey. Yeah, I'm done. You don't have to cry. You'll be fine. We're done with that. No, I'm not going there, honey. It's okay. They're not going to live that way anymore. I'm having way too much fun with you guys tonight. One minute I'm so ridiculously serious and I feel like I'm going to explode. The next minute I'm chuckling, wondering what I'm doing. Are we okay? Am I okay? Do I need prayer? It's dangerous here. I need to write people praying for me. It's scary, some of you praying for me. I'm not sure what you would pray. It would be. It would really come on me. Some of you guys could be scary. Let me finish this thought about light. You're made for the light. Remember, I just don't know what happened in the last half hour, but I really don't. It's a blur to me, but your eye is the lamp of your body. So your perspective determines how you shine. Your perspective determines how you live your life. So the why behind your life, your reason for being, the motivation of why you live your day is huge. If you're just existing, that's not cool. If you have no strong purpose of being, you'll get tossed around to and fro. You'll be like the waves of the sea by the wind. You'll just try to survive. You'll be reduced to making it, whatever that means. You know how many Christians are Christians to make it? Make it what? To the end? Like, to get through life? He's not a survival kit. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a busboy, a table waiter. He's not a servant. He's your Father. And He's here to empower you to live what He paid for and to restore what He originally created you for. You guys at Grove know that well. You're being taught so good here. I believe it. I've been around your leaders. It's humbling. It's awesome. Yeah, any one of them could just be up here preaching just like this. I know it. It's just good to come in and now the mouths of two or more, every word's confirmed and established. I'm not preaching things you don't know and haven't heard. But God wants them sealed in you to where you're non-optional. Single eye, not wide view lens, multiple choice. Not a yell but Christian. A yes, Lord, Christian. That's good. Oh, that is good. I might preach that again. The eye's the lamp of the body. If your eye's single, Katie, if your eye's single, your whole body's flooded with light. But if your eye's not single, then darkness encroaches. Watch. And if the light in you is darkness. It's a strange saying. It's Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34. It's there. I read it. It's there. You can check it. Follow with me. It's exactly how I'm preaching it. If the light in you is darkness, that means you're created for the light and the perversion is darkness. So if what you're created for is instead darkness, He says, how great is that darkness? He's not saying how evil are you. He's saying how twisted is your view. Because the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is not single, darkness encroaches. So just how wide view lensed are you? Because that's what lets the darkness thrive and overtake what you're here for. Because you're here to shine. Not to survive. You're here to shine. Let your light. Who's the light of the world? And then He says, you're the light of the world. And says to let your light. So if it's your light, it came from Him. So it's His light. Let your light so shine. He's being personal. He's saying everybody's called to the light. So let your light shine before men. He doesn't say make sure you go to every church service and don't skip the middle week services and make sure you're at the prayer meeting. I get that, do that, but do it for the right reason. Not to qualify, to keep being groomed and sharpened and focused and look a little more like Him than when you leave, than when you came. And make sure you marry coming and going. You come to be empowered to go. You come to be empowered to go. You don't come to qualify. You already qualified. You don't come to be accepted. You already are. You don't come to be righteous. You're made righteous. You come to grow in the knowledge of Him. You come to get stirred up in loving good works. You come to keep a single eye. So I, this weekend, commissioned these leaders. I said, look, if you're asking me, the best thing you can do is keep this message in front of people and don't feel like you're risking being redundant. And you still keep preaching topics and things, but make sure this is the heart of why we're here. Because if we miss this, we're going to miss why He came. You're not just here to have a hoedown time in the Lord. Hoedown times are awesome, but here's what we don't understand. If we become what we're preaching, our times in the Lord are going to be immeasurable. Worship's going to be off the hook. Nobody's going to have to plow the ground to get you engaged. Why? Because you're in Him. You're living in Him. You love Him. You're walking with Him. In fact, it'd be pretty hard to tone down if we tried. Because there'd be great rejoicing because it's good tidings, great joy, joy unspeakable, joy of our salvation. He has to be talking more than our circumstances lining up to what we prefer. Because there's not great joy in that. Nobody's ducks are totally in a row. Are they? Are there things you wish would change around you? Are there things you wish would reposition? That's fine. Believe for that. But don't let those things determine you and how you are and who you are. Because none of those things should have that voice or that power. And don't you be a Christian for God to change those things and expect Him to change them for you to be okay. He's not going to empower idolatry. So if you need a person to change in your life for you to be okay, that's not okay. Because even if that person changes, it's going to be something else. It's just inevitable. It's just a matter of time. It's going to be something else. So throw out that list. See, it's a sad day when you're a pastor and you realize that there's something a person did or something a person said that's governing a person's life. And it's like one person did this and now, and one person said this and now, but the one person's name isn't Jesus. It's a sad thing. Don't you let what a man said trump what he said. Don't let what a man does trump what he did. You live from this place, so you respond to these things in a healthy manner. You don't internalize these things and run to God and cry out for help. You internalize this, so you're empowered to respond this way. You live from Him. You don't run your life through the eye of the needle to God. You run God through the eye of the needle to your life. And you respond to things through Him. You don't take things to Him. Most people go, fall on their knees, cry, overwhelmed, hurt. I'm not being rude. Bear with me. I'm not being insensitive. Bear with me. They cry on their bed and they say, Lord, you got to change my family. I can't take it anymore. Nobody loves me and appreciates me. God, you just need to do a work in my family. I don't know how I'm supposed to live in this family when nobody loves me or you. Good example. Does people relate? That's not... It's you waking up in the morning and realizing you're loved, you're complete in Him, you're secure in Him. You understand that your family really doesn't want Jesus, but you're not there to preach to them and beat a Bible over their head and try to push and evangelize and get them to rejoice in what you rejoice in, because that gets weird, and when they don't rejoice, you're hurt, and all of a sudden you're not even excited and they're wondering what trip you're on. And it's psychological and it's weird. It looks weird to the people that you're trying to evangelize. They don't want that. It's not cool. No. You lay on your bed. Father, I just thank you. Man, I realize that my family is in a real desperate situation. It seems like they don't know you or even want you. And Lord, it seems like they don't have the capacity to love or appreciate me or value me. But it's just because they don't know you. If they knew you, they would value me because you sure value me. And God, I thank you that I can live from that value, that I have something to give to them, to offer them without a lot of speech, without a lot of motives. I can just walk in love towards them because actually my heart used to hurt because of them. But man, I'm realizing my heart hurts for them, because if they really knew who they were and saw who they were, they would no way be living what they're living. And your words on the cross, forgive them, they don't know what they do, really keep coming to me. And I believe that's my view of my family. And I'm blessed to be in this family. And I'm honored to be in this family. And I thank you by grace. I'm going to shine light in this family. And God, I take no account of a suffered wrong. And nobody in this family owes me a thing, because I'm secure in you, God. And I just thank you. And I hurt for them. And I'm done hurting because of them. And I cry for them. And I'm done crying because of them, because you made me complete. Now that's probably prayer. How about if we take the probably out of there? That's prayer. That's communion with God. The other one's the heartbroken. It has deception all through it. And it's amazing how God's merciful and sometimes seems to intervene and show touches of grace in areas. But most people that are running to God broken and praying this way, stay this way and are only as encouraged as things are changing within their home. So they get so self-focused and so focused on the problem that every time they pray, they leave prayer and look right back to see if it worked. And when things aren't changed, they get devastated and heartbroken and hopeless because they just prayed again and nothing changed. So they're just praying for the situation to change. They're not praying for greater understanding, more completeness, and deeper expression. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Some of you are looking at me funny. First time I got that mixed bag of looks there. Started to look like a deliverance meeting. You guys okay? Yes, Pastor. Come on, we don't even realize that sometimes we're like, and then the friends we have and people around us, they would sometimes tend to more understand your pain and how you must feel, because if they were living in that, they know they'd be feeling like you. So the best they can do is sympathize with you. They actually can't even help you, because they agree with your pain. Come on, I'm not talking about insensitive here. I'm talking about teaching people why they don't have to be broken and how they can be stronger and why they don't have to be overrun by where people aren't. Because if you let where people aren't decide where you are, the Lordship of Jesus is not functioning in your life. Are you with me? You don't hear that harshly, right? Come on. So because we don't understand that, we get driven to pray for everything to change and lose our disposition in the process if it doesn't change. It's not wrong to believe it for change, but it has to change from the place of love. Faith works through love. The goal of our instruction is love. We're to love one another. If God loved us this way, ought we not love one another? A man that loves has no cause to be stumbled by his brother. That means no cause for offense in his brother. That means a man that loves can't be offended. They said, what? They did what? Well, they should have known. Well, why did they do that? I can't believe they believed that about me. Well, that really hurts. Stop. Yeah. Stop. What do you mean that really hurts? I hope it hurts you for them, because if they really saw, they wouldn't have did that. And why are you losing anything? What did you lose when they thought that? How does that change you if that's not you, what they thought? When people fall out and do things you didn't expect, how are you any less a son, a daughter, any less anointed, any less called with destiny and purpose? Why do we let things matter more if they don't matter most? Let's keep our eyes on this thing. It's a prize. We ought to grow in it and apprehend it. Yeah? So if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? How twisted your view? That means you were created for the light. It's amazing to me the Bible says if the light in you is darkness. It's perversion. It's perversion. It's like men living at the expense of another created for love. It's like slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. We've lived the opposite. It's Jesus making himself. We're to have, Philippians 2, have the same mind in you that was in him. How intimate's that? That the Bible reveals the motive of Jesus and what made him tick. You're to have the same mind in you that was in him. And then it tells you what that mind is. Even though he knew he was a son and equal with God, he didn't consider it something to be held on to and honored for, but he made himself of no reputation by laying down his glory. He made himself, he emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. I talked about it a little yesterday. Please understand this. It's in my heart again. It's not redundant. We lived most of our lives seeking a level of reputation. And the mind that took him to the cross sought none. And even though he was a son of God, the son of God, he didn't expect to be treated as such. He wasn't looking for a red carpet. He rode in on a donkey. He was born in a manger. He called himself the Son of Man. He laid down his life. They were wrong his whole life in ministry, and he didn't come across to be right. He remains righteous, and he gives every opportunity for wrong to be made right. He cut no one off. Once for all. And anyone who follows me, he opened the door for everyone that would have ears to hear. He didn't say, except for those hard-headed, stiff-necked Pharisees that really get under my skin. Who, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never gonna change. Yeah. I'm sorry, honey. Yeah. He would never do that, honey. No. See, babies can't even take this. They're like, I can't believe anyone would live that way. Oh. Let it sink in, prophetic cry there. Oh my. He's really helping me. That little guy. Yeah, he's amazing. So we got to learn of him, people. If you're heavy laden, if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, come unto him. He'll give you rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What's he talking about? Because in the world you have tribulations, but in him you have peace. Rejoice. He's overcome the world. We be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Well, if he overcame the world, why do we have tribulation? He's not talking about not having trials. He's talking about living in a perspective that overcomes. Take of me, eat. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's called selfless living, where you're not carrying the weight and care for your own life because you surrendered it to inherit His, to live what He created you for. It's a place of freedom. It's bondage free. It's not burdensome. The commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. Love is not a heavy yoke. It's the freest place you've ever been. It's what you're created to be. It's where you're at your best. Don't be afraid to live there. Go ahead and let it all go and say, I'm in, right? Listen, I've found in a room this size, there's always a whole handful of people that don't want to become love. They want to live by the rights they inherited through human wisdom. They want to stand in the emotions they were trained by all their life. They leave self-centeredness in place and draw lines and put chips on their shoulder that can be crossed or knocked off. Not everybody wants to become love. But you know them by their love. When a man doesn't slip in word, he's a complete man. He's been matured in love. Ain't that something? You want that in your life. You don't want your words to stumble and fall to the ground. You want to be like Samuel, and none of them fell to the ground. His words! None of his words just fell to the ground. To the pure, all things are pure. The pure in heart shall see God. He wouldn't talk about pure hearts if it wasn't possible to have one. He says, be holy, for I am holy. If you couldn't live in holiness, he wouldn't talk about it. He said, follow me. He wouldn't say, follow me if it was impossible. What do you think? He's sitting there with God just howling and laughing. Look, they're actually trying it. They took me serious. Ain't that a kick? They don't have a chance. They're silly believers. They're gullible. What do you think? He said, follow me, and he's howling and laughing because you're trying? He didn't say, sing to me in corporate worship, which, please, keep doing it. He didn't say, pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. We tend to sing and pray when we're overwhelmed. And make that a priority. Well, what about follow him? Follow him would change your motive in prayer. It would change your whole prayer life. Follow him would absolutely release the most amazing worship we've ever experienced. You just think about what an atmosphere would look like when everybody assembles and there's a few visitors and a handful of friends, walk-ins, but the majority of the house has walked with Him, tasted, seen, knows He's good, have walked in love and pursued peace in their homes, nurtured their families, and came in the joy of His love and being a shining light in their workplace. Imagine what that atmosphere would look like when we'd open our hearts and give Him thanks for a gift and a life so amazing as this. Not burdened down by trials, not got a big long prayer list written out, and if God doesn't move today, I'm about to give up. Get into a place where you understand, even though you're believing for things to change around you, deep in your heart, you understand that if nothing changes, He doesn't. And your reason for being is the same. And if no one in your life changes, you have a revelation and you still have to answer, what are you doing with Jesus? You're still called to live Him. And if it's all conditional on your spouse and your kids and your parents and your uncle so-and-so, and well, then you're only as strong as the weakness around you instead of the Christ that lives in you. Are you with me? Come on, this is sober and straight, but it's clean, it's clear, it's so powerful, it makes you actually untouchable simply through your belief. And God, it's how you gird the loins of your mind, it's how you stand in Him and stand there for. Yeah? Oh, it's just fun. I don't know what we're doing right now. I just don't, man. I ain't got no notes. Actually, I got a lot of notes. Oh, my goodness. Ah! What time do we have to run? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Started with the scripture. I'll finish it and then we're going to pray for each other. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, just listening. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. So I felt like the simplicity of what I heard was to finish the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10. When Adam sinned, he went from living in the spirit to living in the flesh. You have to understand this. He went from living by the Spirit and living in truth to living sensual, emotional, even sentimental. His whole makeup got perverted. Spirit converted, perverted to flesh. We lived our whole lives sensually driven. Our whole lives, not truth driven, sensually driven. We lived by our feelings our whole lives. Some of us, even after we met Jesus, we stayed that way because we didn't know there's a higher way or another way. So a lot of times we minister to each other based on feelings, memories, impressions, dreams, flashbacks, and we relate to what we've related to. You have a flashback, you have a memory, and you think you still have a problem because you have a memory. And you think as long as you remember it, you're not free from it. And you think it's supposed to blank out and go away and never come back. You're not threatened by remembering that thing. You're threatened by believing that's still you.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Wow.
You're not threatened by the flashback. You're threatened by how you respond to it. And Satan's attempt is to break you every time that stuff happens. But he runs an amazing risk, and he believes it's worth taking because He's seen how many people are. So he believes it's a fair gamble. It's good odds to play. He's going to put all the chips down. He's going to come at you hard, son. And he's going to try to flash you back, get you to remember, get you to be condemned, and try to show you who you were and continually bring that to your mind, to your identity, to your focus, hoping that you buy into it and still think it's you because you're dwelling on it, because you remember it. Because it flashed back. You watched a video you should have never watched. You just watched a porn video and all of a sudden the porn video just runs through your head. It's just recollection. You're not conjuring it up. You're not musing. You're not trying to see it. You're not consciously. It just pops up. Who's ever had something like that just out of the blue almost startle you? It just came and you didn't even know why it was there. Like you didn't want it there. You didn't look at it and go, oh, I remember that video. No, you were almost like, what? Happened to me one time. I wasn't ever addicted to porn. I never gave myself to a lot of porn, but just enough to have a flashback. So I'm in a service, and I got a microphone. I guess what I am? I'm the preacher. And they call me Pastor Dan. And the worship was ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. Like, we lost everybody. And all you got is one little girl. She's just one little girl. And we're losing her fast. But she's somehow, she's like this. And her fingers are hitting the high keys. And it sounds like rain, like supernatural rain. Like ding, ah, ding, ah. I mean, it was crazy. Like Jesus is in the room. People laying everywhere. We lost our worship team. And this lady's trying to hang in there. And I'm standing there just going, oh, so amazing. It's amazing the timing and the strategy because of analytical, because of the way we think. We say, well, the devil can't come into the presence of God and da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess what flashed right through my mind right in that moment? Some stupid, ridiculous video that I watched like 12 years before. I can't even tell you when I thought about that video. The last thing I want to see is that video. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And in that atmosphere, in that moment, it's a strategy. The stupid video just flashed through me like I'm watching it yesterday. I got a microphone in my hand. I'm ready to preach. It's ridiculous. God is all over the place. The timing, guess what it wants me to do? Oh my goodness. Here I am, I'm supposed to minister. I got this trash in my mind. Oh my gosh, why is this even in me, God? God, I didn't think I had any of this in my life. That was so long ago. I don't want that. I didn't want to see that. God, I'm so sorry. God, I feel so defiled. God, I can't minister. I got to pass the baton here. And all of a sudden, I'm at the altar repenting for something I'm not. I just got a little deeper revelation than buying into everything that runs through my mind. Some preachers say, would you be able to handle it if your mind was put on the big screen? It's not a fair statement. Not everything running for you or your mind is coming from your heart. There's things that came through your mind that violated you. There's things you wish you never saw again. There's things you would wish you long remember that just keep coming back. Yakety, yakety, yak, yak, yak. So guess what I did? Probably ought to not run that video through me. Not a good idea. Because I understand truth. I understand who I am and I'm in touch with my own heart. I'm not selling that cheap. Are you kidding me? You're going to let a flashback sell out the anointing, the gift, the maturity, the growth, the tenure, the history that I have in God? You're going to let a flashback of a video question everything I'm walking in? Yeah, you better get a little more strategic than that. Because guess what I did? It was one of those atmospheres you're afraid to speak. It was so holy. This lady was just about gone. The tinkering was ridiculous. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? And every time she touches a key, you're like, oh, I'm not going to make it much longer. But guess what I did? And people loved me and respected me in that setting. And I'm standing there, but this is war now. I'm not even thinking about the atmosphere. I'm not even thinking about crossing the line. I'm not even thinking about where everybody else is. You just ran trash through my mind, something that I'm so not a part of, something that I'm delivered from. The old man, are you kidding me? Who do you think you are? You're going to try to get me to attach to the responsibility, accountability, and repent for a thought? Here's a good barometer for you. When the thought bothers you, it's not you. When the thought bothers you, it's not you. Stop taking the responsibility for something you're not. Stop asking for prayer. Stop confessing it as sin. Because it'll come back more when you confess it as sin, because it'll make you think you're sinning, 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 sinning. If it bothers you, it's not you. And you don't need prayer. And you don't need deliverance. And you don't need to forget it. You need to respond in truth. So guess what I did? Holy hush, not a sound, tinkering. It was ridiculous. I'm painting the picture because it was ridiculous. And I'm standing and I went, in the middle of the holy hush, that picture goes, and I went, what? And in a millisecond, I'm like, Father, I thank you for changing my life forever. I thank you for putting something brand new inside of me. I thank you, you've delivered me of everything that I've ever done, that I'm a brand new man and I only have eyes for you and a heart for you. And I went ballistic. And this lady's over there. And everybody's gone. And I'm standing there on a rampage. At the top of my lungs, man. God, I worship you. Thank you for purifying and cleansing my life, judging me in righteousness, pouring your spirit in me and upon me and empowering me. Ah! You're going to come and try to pull me with that silly, silly, silly trick from the ages and get me to flash back and look back and be Lot's wife when I'm his bride. I ain't going back. I know inside my heart that is not me. It's not in my heart. I wouldn't watch it if you paid me. Well, it was in your head, brother. It must be in your spirit. Sorry, love you. So guess what? I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You have no idea how dramatic the scene was. It went from this extreme to... So the people, because they love me and respect me, they told me later they were a little taken back. They were like, whoa, dude, what's up with Pastor Dan? What realm is he in right now? Like, that's not the atmosphere at all. And then they thought, well, he must see something. He's on to something. I think it's time for confession. They all stood up and started speaking out who they were and who they'd become and what Jesus did. So everybody's standing there, Father, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for washing me. And it turned into this ridiculous, holy time. And then we stood up in truth and went, oh! Yeah! Like Christian hawks. We're tearing out of our shirts. So guess what happened? It got a little toned down. I'm still hyper. I got my little mic. I'm supposed to teach. I said, sir, you got something in the middle of your back. It's a herniated disc. It's not good. It's hurt you for a long time. It's getting warm right now. It's going away. You'll never have trouble. Ma'am, on the right side of your right ankle, there's a tumor. It's something growing there. It's a cyst. Yeah, I see it. But check, because it's going. Bam! 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 Watch, watch, watch. I don't think any of that would have happened if it wasn't for the video. Woo! How? Bam! And we think we got a problem. No, we got an answer. And the just shall live by faith. You're not fighting the devil. You're fighting the good fight of faith. You're remaining in the truth that he set you in, and nothing moves you away. Yeah. We had a move of God that I don't believe would have ever happened if it wasn't for the video. So what he's doing, man, he's coming and he's trying to break you. He's putting all his chips down. He's running the risk. He's gambling. And he says, I know, man, and I'll do it and I'll bring him down. He's running the risk of breaking him. Or he's going, he's taking that risk. He's going to try to break him, but he's running the risk of making him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because wonder if he's a believer. Wonder if he knows he's set apart and sanctified. Wonder if he understands his heart's changed. Wonder if he understands that none of those flashbacks are who he is on the inside. And every time they come, he just goes this way and it's a springboard to more intimacy. Springboard and revelation to more truth. Springboard to the love of God. And all of a sudden what Satan is doing to try to break him, he's actually being a pawn and being used by God in truth to make and establish him. You see how, see the wild man I can turn into in a moment? It's because of those things. You're just not going to sell me short, cheap anymore. The truth's come, made me free, I'm not for sale. I've watched countless good-hearted people that have long repented get thrown into a tailspin because of a memory. Young lady driving to work and remembering that line she crossed a year ago. She's been living clean, but she opened up her life. She had a little vow promise ring on from youth group and she took it off because she was ashamed. She cried and repented and can't believe she did it, but oh well, I'm getting better. And a year goes by and she's growing and moving forward. And she's driving to work one day out of the blue and she just pictures being with him. She just pictures the scene runs through her head and she's grayed out by the time she gets to work. That's tragedy. She doesn't need prayer. She doesn't need a prayer hotline. She doesn't need ministry. She doesn't need delivered. She needs to keep her eyes on the road and drive. Watch what it looks like. As soon as the vision, as soon as the memory hits her, the temptation is to feel grayed out. The temptation is to relive it. The temptation is to feel defiled. The temptation is to feel like you cross the line, to feel dirty, and to feel whatever. But you don't go there. Because that's not you. You've long cried. You've been sorry before. And you're driving and you say, as soon as it comes, Father, I thank you for the transformation of my life. I thank you you've put a new and a pure thing in me. I thank you I'm chaste in your sight. I thank you, God, you love me and adore me and you fill me with the power and person of your Holy Spirit. And I am so your girl. Yeah? Not. Don't wreck and then say, well, Dan said. Come on, be honest. How many people have had these flashbacks and they let them eat even a moment of their time, a day of their life, a week of their life, or they tailspin and actually thought that there was still something hiding in them and wrong with them. So they went for this long-term sessions of deliverance and costing their identity and trying to get at the root of something. And the whole time it was outside trying to get in. And when you believe it's you, it's back in. I can show you in your Bible, you have been delivered by the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The day you believe that is a very good day. And the day you address every memory, every flashback, every impression, and even every dream. You say, but it was a terrible dream. It was a nightmare. Okay, so wake up and rejoice in truth. Flip whatever message the nightmare was sending and turn it into a time of intercession, prayer, and rejoicing and worship. And if it's the devil doing it, see if he keeps doing it and spurring you to God. I need you to pray for me. I have insomnia. The devil keeps waking me up every night. Well, if you know it's the devil waking you up, why don't you wake up and say, you know what, God? I'm so glad you woke me up. Yeah. And the devil's sitting there going, I'm just so glad you woke me up. My life's not my own. You'll give me grace for tomorrow. I'm not even worried about work. The truth is I'm up right now and you're in my heart are one and I'm in you and you're in me. Where do you want me to pray? How do you want me to touch the corners of the earth? I'll do anything right now that you want. I'll intercede. I'll pray. I'll believe. And if you got nothing for it, I'll just go back to sleep. And I'm so glad you woke me up. The whole time you know it's the devil trying to get you insomnia and frustrated and complaining and I need prayer and how come it ain't working and if I don't sleep tonight, I ain't going to be able to function. We make ourselves so vulnerable. We position ourselves for this kind of stuff. You say, well, if this happens one more time, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And the devil says, well, that's easy. It's coming one more time. Well, if this happens one more time, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. Yeah. Okay, bang. And then you say, why is God letting this happen to me? He's not! You're positioned for it. Stop. Love not your own life unto death and understand what that means. It's not about insomnia and getting woke up in the middle of the night. I understand that's a tough place for people when you got to function, you got to get your sleep. But if you respond in God and stop fighting the wrong things. Actually, the more attention you pay to the problem and the devil, he even likes that because you're distracted. Look, he's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. Look what happens when you give somebody a microphone. They'll just preach and preach and preach and preach. If you give him a platform, man, he is going to do something. He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. Why would you give him a voice? Why would you give him anything? Your fight's not with the devil. Your fight's remaining in faith. Your fight's continuing to believe who you are now that he came. And believing his love is greater than this thing. So if you think the devil's waking you up, just wake up one or two nights in a row and thank God for waking you up. And that devil is freaked out. Because he knows you're on to him. And you're going to turn it into a time of intercession. And now the devil is responsible for you touching a nation in prayer and hearing God's heart.
Yeah. Oh, I love that on his resume. Come on.
See, well, my buddy Todd, if you know my buddy Todd, he got this revelation because I taught him this revelation. He got this revelation at a very young age. He was hanging around me. And one day I heard him preaching because he was living this way. And I was proud of him for that in a healthy way. I was like, this boy's going after it. He ain't letting nothing move him. He ain't letting flashbacks, memories. He ain't letting, man, he's going after God. He's not letting his misunderstanding family affect him. I mean, when I did their wedding and married him and Jackie, Jackie's mom was in the front row wailing. Saying, in the ceremony, wailing, I can't believe you're actually doing this. I can't believe you're buying him. It was that loud during the ceremony. And Jesus didn't seem to mind. So we figured it's okay. So we smiled, stayed gentle, and loved everybody the best we could, and they got married in the presence of the Lord. And I think they're doing pretty good. The last I checked, they're all right. Critics say they're not, but I know him. And I think he's fine. But he said this in a sermon one day, and it made me laugh so hard. I thought, only Todd. He said, you guys got to quit fearing the devil. You're supposed to fear God. And he's preaching like a madman. And he says, you know, Revelation says one day we're going to see the one that deceived the nations. And we're going to say, this is he. This is the one who wreaked havoc and deceived the nations. This is him. Because we're going to see him as he is. It's amazing that in Genesis he's a serpent. In Revelation he's a seven-headed dragon. Where did he get that kind of power and magnitude and authority? Because men have worshipped him with their fear. God didn't make him that big. Men did. And here's what Todd said in the sermon. He said, guys, I know we have our ideas of what it's going to be like in that day and what we're going to do, but honestly, this is in my heart, and I really think I'm going to do this. I think God's going to let me do this. Like on that day when we all see the devil and everybody's like, this is him? He said, man, I'm going to run right up to him and say, dude, and give him the biggest hug. I'm just going to hug you, man, and say, dude, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have half the revelation I have. And I wouldn't be half the man of God. Thank you, dude. That's pretty awesome. So how do you defeat that if you're the enemy and somebody actually believes that and is living that? There was a thing that came on my life years ago. It was a signed witchcraft, man. The Lord told me it was voodoo. It was more pain than I thought the human body could experience. You say, well, if you're righteous, how come? And if you keep yourself, the evil one touches you not. It was a testing time. Satan coming because of the word. I'm preaching like a madman. And he's saying, okay, hot shot. You aren't even tested in these things. You don't even know. I don't even believe this is legit. Bam, bop, bam. And God sits back. What are you going to do, son? Come on, you got everything you need. He doesn't stop it. God doesn't stop this stuff. He sits there and lets you win. He gives you a chance to win. We're like, God, you got to stop it. God, why are you letting him do this? God, what did I do wrong? God, what door did I open? God, why are you letting me down? That's a good way to get destroyed. Every time I was in a situation like that, from the time I can remember getting saved, I would get a picture of the Lord sitting on the throne looking down saying, so what are you going to do? He said, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Old Testament, Moses, raise your staff and split the sea. We're in New Covenant, still crying out. Witchcraft, trying to kill me. You don't love your own life. You honestly think you're dying. I honestly thought I was dying. And all I could do is smile and gentleness come on me. Jesus, I serve you with every breath, till the last breath I take. I love you. You're so the Lord of my life. I didn't even know how to cry, get upset. And Jesus so empowered me in that moment. It was three things right in a row. Why? Because one time, two times, okay, three times. That's how we think. When is this going to stop? Is this ever going to end? Why is it happening again? I don't know how to ask any of those questions. I don't want to even know how to ask those questions. Because I've never saw those questions produce life or power in anyone's life. I've seen them cause quandary, concern, and fear. I'm not going to ask questions. I'm going to settle on what I know. It was so dramatic, you have no idea. It was so intense, it was so real. And when it was over, I cried for probably an hour or so. I cried on my bed and said, Lord, are we ready for real adversity? Are we ready to fight the good fight and lay down our lives? Do we understand what we're asking for and what we're called to? But here's what that season did for me. It built something in me. It's a lot of what you see in me. That all happened way before I was preaching like I am now. It built something in me. It's my own story. I don't have to live off of Shadrach's. I got my own story. See, I feel that thing's all over me right now. It's people say, well, that pastor was strutting. You have no idea when the authority of the Lord goes on. You're probably strutting and don't even know it. When it was over, a hole opened in my ceiling. I don't even tell people this stuff. I don't even know why I'm telling you this stuff. Probably because you're not videoing, are you? Good. Maybe the recorder will break right now. Break right now. Is it Facebook Live? This hole opened up in my ceiling. I don't talk this stuff. I don't normally talk this stuff. You never hear me talk about this stuff. But a hole opened up in my ceiling. And this crystal waterfall is pouring out of the hole. It's ridiculous. I just got delivered from the third assault of witchcraft. Thought I was dying. My wife was crying on the steps. My children were sitting watching me crying, believing I'm dying. And so did I. Actually thought I'm dying. I was losing consciousness and passing out. I couldn't bear the pain anymore. And I whispered with my heart, because this voice came to me and said, Dan, you're such a believer. You don't need this kind of pain. Just go get help. And it wasn't about 911 in hospital. It was witchcraft. I don't need a sedative. I don't need morphine. It's witchcraft and I know it. It's not a sprained ankle. It's not a wrenched knee. It's not a broken bone. It's witchcraft. I don't need morphine. So it wasn't about hospitals. Don't say, well, you're too proud to go there. Just stop. Every leader in my life in that three-thing season sat me down to tell me I'm in spiritual pride and ashamed to go to a doctor because it'll ruin my testimony. I don't even know what they're thinking. That stuff doesn't even cross my mind. I'm engaged. I'm in warfare. And you teach me these crazy Bible stories when I'm little. And when I'm old enough to assert it, you tell me to use wisdom. And then the preach in the pulpit were telling me things with doors closed. They would never preach from the pulpit. Well, Dan, look at your leg. When would you ever tell the people to look at their situation? Why are you telling me that? Because you care for me and you're scared for me. I don't share your fear. It was intense what happened in that season. I'm not mad about this. I'm startled by it. Every leader in my life didn't even understand. And felt like they had to assess me and locate me instead of lock arms with me and say, I'm with you, we'll believe. So I believe I'm dying and I hear this voice. Dan, you just need to go get help and get rid of the pain. You are such a believer. Look how far this has gone. You don't budge. You don't shift. You can be proud. And it was just this weird tone. I was like, you can be proud of your faith. You are such a believer, but you don't deserve or need this kind of pain. That's weird language to me. That's selfish. Yeah. Try to tell Jesus that when they're lashing him beyond description, that he doesn't deserve this kind of pain. Yeah. Tell me if he'll bite. Because honestly, he didn't deserve it. I don't believe I deserve that pain. I believe it was warfare. It was a test. It was trying to shake me to the core to get to the foundation of what I really believe. But man, it ran a risk to establish me. It's where passion comes from in my life. Those things right there. And when I heard this voice, my wife, I didn't know it, but you know what my wife is hearing at the same time? So picture your honey. See how you're sitting there with him? You love that man. Right there. You love that man. So picture him laying there passing out in pain, and it's the third round. And you hurt for him because you're his wife. You love him, and it hurts you to see him in that much pain. It's real. It hurts you. And you're sitting there, and you've prayed, and your children are lined up on the steps just weeping and crying because they think daddy's dying. And you're sitting there, and this voice comes to you and says, you're going to let him die? In front of you and the children? He's so hard-headed, he won't go to the hospital, and you're not going to intervene and speak up? You're just going to sit here and watch him die? That's what she was hearing. I didn't know it. She was hearing it. You think this stuff isn't thought out and strategic. It's real. That's why you give him no place. He's a jerk. He lives in darkness. He has no part of you and you have no part of him. Don't entertain his stuff, his things, his ways, his motives, his lies. You are not made for his camp. There's nothing about him that you're made for. The first time I had a demon encounter, one walked in my bedroom and I perceived him and I'm reading a book and it manifested arrogantly right in my bedroom. It was when this thing started. And I looked up and with the devil standing right there, I was more aware of my salvation than ever. And you know what came out of my mouth? What do you have to do with me and me with you? I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I realized there was nothing about him that had anything to do with me. And I felt so saved. Not one ounce of fear. Not one ounce of freaked out. Not one ounce of Shabba. This warrior thing just comes on you because it has nothing to do with you. Am I okay? I'm laying there and this thing's telling me, go get help. It's the first time in my life I realized what the Lord not letting you be tempted with more than you can bear really means. Because the pain was unbearable. It was my third round. How much can your body take? My heart's right. My faith's right. The pain's real. It's stealing my consciousness, my ability to speak. It hurts so bad I can't even describe it. And now I'm hearing, go get help. And I had just prayed and I said, Lord, I said, this is what brought the voice. This is when the voice that waited to speak to, I said this, I said, I felt like I was dying. I said, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on, but I know you love me and I just thank you. And I prayed a little thing out and I said, Holy Spirit, it just sounded so cool to me.
It just sounded like a cool prayer at the time.
I said, Holy Spirit, would you take my face to the Father? Ask Him to look to the right to see why I have a right. Because I don't think I can take this pain anymore. I really need you to help me. When I spoke that, it spoke vulnerability. And the voice came immediately to the response of my prayer. Dan, you need to just go get help. It's not wrong to go to 911. It's not wrong to call 911 or go to the emergency room. It's not wrong to get a sedative. It's not wrong. You don't need this kind of help. You don't deserve it. You're a believer. You've proved that. You don't need, you just need to go get help right now. So I looked up at my wife. I didn't know my wife is hearing, are you kidding me? You're going to let him die. You're just going to watch. He's so hard-headed. He refuses to get help. And you're going to watch him and let your children watch him die. Really? That's what she's hearing. I look up at her and her big brown eyes are staring at me because that's what's going through her mind. I don't know that's going through her mind. I just know what I just heard. And I'm thinking, help right now sounds good. And I for the first time learned what it means to not be tempted more than you can bear. Remind you, this is the third time this thing hit. Not the same thing. It was all three different. They were all physical. And it was intense and violent. And I looked at my wife and I looked into her big brown eyes and her big brown eyes just looking at me. And I was just ready to say, you know, maybe we should just go get some help. And when I went to say it, I couldn't. It just didn't feel right. And in my mind, I hesitated and I didn't say anything and I thought, but it's witchcraft. I don't need help. And as soon as I hesitated, this wonderful voice, this voice that I know, it's so soft and so still and so small, came down on the inside. And it whispered so gentle, it said, don't believe the lie. And when he spoke it, this fire came in my belly. Don't have words for it. And I know you have a hard time seeing me passionate and aggressive and emotional and picturing that. But I turned into a true madman. I couldn't even lift my arm. There was so much pain. I couldn't even move. And I just stood to my feet. And this fire is raging. And I said, I will not. So passionate, so loud, it would offend most. So dramatic. Why do you have to be so dramatic? You have no clue. I will not believe the lie. And I yelled it loud. And this thing's raging in me and I'm believing it's the fire of God. It's coming up through me. And this is the third time witchcraft out of my mouth. I don't even talk like this. It was so awesome. I said, how long will you, like an uncircumcised Philistine, stand in the field of my life and hurl threats at the living God? And that thing went. I looked up and this waterfall was pouring on me from my ceiling. I don't even know. I can't help you. I don't know. You see, that's what's wrong. Demonic water. Substantiate that scripturally. It's giftings and manifestations of the Spirit. It fueled me and empowered me. It was so ridiculous. I looked up, I could see it with my eyes. It was pouring and splashing over me. It was so amazing. You could never tell I ever went through a moment of witchcraft. I was more invigorated than I've ever been in my life. I was more... You couldn't tell. I wasn't beat down. I wasn't weary. I wasn't three times around. I was in him, and he was in me. It was amazing. It crossed me over some line where it seems like nothing ever touched me since. Nothing. I don't even get a head cold. I don't get a pain. I don't talk about it much because people compare. Oh, you have a revelation to divine health. Stop. I have a revelation of not loving my own life. And I don't know how to complain. And I refuse to feel sorry for myself because he taught me that. Are you with me? I'm not boasting in me. I'm boasting in him, and I'm telling you what's possible. It's not a revelation to divine health. When you're praying for that, it's because you're maybe thinking you could get sick. I don't even think about it. You can breathe on me all day. I don't even think about it. I don't think about it. I don't think about what I eat and stuff like that. I don't. I just receive it with thanksgiving and I'm good. Do you know what's in that? No. Stop, because I don't want the fear in my life that I see in your eyes. Because it's temperance. I don't indulge. I don't live outside of balance and self-control. I'll eat potato chips, but I don't eat the whole bag. Can't tell you last time I ate a donut, but I love them. But I can't tell you last one I ate. You put a piece of cake in front of me. If I didn't eat one for 3 months, I'll eat three times what you think I should probably because I love it. But I might not eat it again for 6 months. I'm good. Trust me. Here's what happened to me that night. The Lord said, I want you to pray for and bless your family. Why? Because they went through it with me. My children sat there and cried thinking their daddy was going to die. My wife sat there with eyes this big hearing a voice that said, you're going to let him die and not intervene? Are you kidding me? It was not the Lord. This thing is real. The strategies and schemes of the devil. Hoping you never get rooted and grounded and established. He don't mind you going to church. He don't mind you singing loud, raising hands, blowing a flag. He minds when you love not your own life and believe the gospel. He minds when you don't live in fear and you refuse to give yourself to it because you don't think for yourself, you think for the kingdom. He minds when you love people even when you know they're wrong. He minds when your life starts looking like Jesus. That's what he minds. He doesn't even care you read your Bible. He cares when you look like the Word. God said, bless your family. Pray for them. Prophesy. I said, okay. So my wife's sitting there and she stood up. They're crying. I was a madman. You have no, well, you do have a little idea, but it's way beyond anything you've ever seen. Way beyond. If it was on a video, it would offend most. And if you just saw the intensity, it would freak most people out. That's why I laid on my bed and cried for an hour. Because it was real. And I felt like as a people, we're not ready for it. We love our lives a little too much. And we don't handle adversity well. We cry and ask God to deliver us. Instead of stand and fight the good fight of faith. Because the whole time that witchcraft's coming, I'm already delivered. Because I'm not seeking my own. I'm already delivered because I'm not afraid. I'm already delivered because I'm fueled and fired up with eternal life. I'm already delivered. He has delivered me. I went to pray for my wife. It was the most comical thing. I got 4 feet away from her and she went. And I went another step and she went like that. And I said, if you want me to bless her, you gotta let me get her. I mean, I can't even tell you what it felt like. It was like, it was like energy radiate. It felt like current. It was just powerful. And I touched her and she just into the carpet. Just blessed her and spoke over her. My son, when he was 5, I got born again. He would follow me through the room praying. And he would just watch me. And I'm just declaring and praying. And God would just rage all over me. Put my hand on his head. 5. And I'd just keep praying and walking and praying. A little later, he'd get up. I'm not kidding. For a whole year, I'd line my wife and kids up before I went to work at the bed. Father, I thank you for my family and honor them. Holy Spirit, come. They're laying over top of each other. And I'd leave for work. A whole year. He's real. I'm into him. He's really into me. That's human. Stop. I touched my boy. He slithered down the steps. I went over to my daughter and got a word that was so ridiculous, that was so what she was thinking and feeling. It wrecked her beyond description. I saw her thoughts, her little 14-year-old or whatever it was, mindset. Nah, she was 12. Her little 12-year-old, the challenges, the things she was thinking as a little girl, just came to me like, it's powerful. I was in the hospital. And I was praying for this lady. And I looked up. She had a tumor in her head. I looked up and that waterfall was coming through the ceiling. Well, that's the same waterfall I was in my house. Never seen it since. Didn't write a book on it. I don't pray for it to come. But man, it was there. A little Methodist girl sitting on a chair, and she don't see it. It's pouring on the lady with the tumor. When I'm praying, I'm like, nobody knows it. It's splashing on her, and the lady, every time it's splashing, she's going, I look and it's spritzing onto the Methodist girl. I saw it with my eyes. And I'm thinking, it's hitting her. And she's going, she's got her eyes closed, being real gentle. And every time it hits her, after we're done, she says, I don't know what was going on when you were praying, but I never experienced anything like that in my life. Splashing in the river, girl. The lady worked for the hospital. She just got diagnosed. She was the cleaning lady. She came in to clean the room. We got talking and the information came out, prayed. It's fun. You walk in there like 2 years later just to visit somebody else because that's just, you just go believe. And she's coming down the hall on floor 6 with her little mopping bucket. And you look at her and go, that's her. You say, hey, ah! Right in the hospital. I said, you're doing good. She said, it went away. She never had a surgery. It went away.
So what do you do with me now? Crucify me? Call me a liar. Lock me in a closet. Find a way to criticize and not believe.
Time will tell if I'm telling the truth. Make sure that's a good day for you too. Time will tell. Make sure that's a good day for all of you. Because every step you take is taking you a step closer to that day. Where every man gives an account for his life and what he believed. you run with him. Because he's for you and not against you. You love him because he loved you first. You surrender and you give your whole self to him. Yeah? I was going to pray for folks and I ate up all my time, I think. You guys okay? I got into some wild stories. I'm not even sure what I'm doing. Are you okay with all that? Sometimes I guess you got to tell a few things so you understand why I'm so intense. This thing's not a game. You give your life. The whole time the enemy would love to take yours. God bless you, Steve. Good to see you, buddy. The whole time Satan would love to take yours, and Jesus already got it. There's this war on the earth. You got the nature of God and the nature of the enemy. God's making man for his image, and the devil deceived Eve, and Adam followed her, and they took on the nature of the enemy. So Jesus comes and becomes like us, so we can become like him, and he makes the great exchange. So now we live for God and his glory, and we give no place to the enemy. We're not made for his nature, we're made for his image. So there's this whole war trying to reproduce itself after its own kind. Yeah? Get you to react, to fuss, to fret, to fume, discouraged, angry, frustrated, ticked, whatever. And he loves it. He feeds on it. He thrives on it. He loves when you fight back and don't make peace. He loves when your heart's hard and not forgiving. Because every time you're like that, he believes he's winning. And he's making what was made for the similitude of God look like him. It's the only way he believes he can win. Because he cannot defeat God. So he'll try to defeat God in you. And reduce you to be what you're not here for. Don't let him. You have a say in the matter. Y'all good? Man, we're ending on a sober note. Ooh. And you're just so nice. I ought to get you up here right now.
You're the best, dude. I like you a lot.
Let's just do this quick in closing. I'm not going to do it the way I usually do it. You guys get something out of this? You can go after this, right?
Yep.
Let's just close. I'm going to shift the gear right now. If you're sick in your body, you need healing in any way in your body, make sure right now, please don't think this is religious. We're not playing church, and don't be afraid to participate. Please participate. We're not playing church. This is real. I'm just not going to do it like I normally do it, but I need to see who you are. If you need healing in your body in any way, and your body is less than whole, and you want healing in your body. If you can stand, do me a favor and stand to your feet, please. Some of you would know if you're healed. Some of you wouldn't know. I get that. I'm not doing what I normally do, but I want to. There's a lot of people, especially Grove people. How many Grove people do I have sitting in their chairs? Grove community people sitting in their chairs. Especially Grove community, because I know you're taught this stuff. Get up and get around, grab somebody and stand with somebody that's standing, please. And anybody else that wants to, but don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just go stand with them. Just go. Put your hand up if you stood up for prayer so we don't lose you in the crowd. Hey, guys that are sitting, run around. Find somebody with their hand up. Go run to them. Go say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Thanks for letting me love on you. Just go find somebody with their hand up. When they grab you, when they claim you, put your hand down. Just put your hand down. When they claim you, put your hand down. When you have somebody standing with you, only leave your hand up if nobody has you. Look around, guys. There's a bunch of hands. I still need helpers. Don't gang up. Don't be 4-on-1. Don't be 3-on-1. I need everybody covered, please. There was plenty of people sitting. I know we can do this. If you're uncomfortable, that's good. I want you on the team because then you won't be relying on your own confidence. If you're uncomfortable, you're on the roster. You're a really good candidate. If you're saying, oh, this is wigging me out. I've never done this. Oh, that's great. Come on. Get in the game. Anybody to stand with her? Got her? Are you waiting, sir? Did anybody claim you yet? I got a gentleman. Do I have a young man or somebody that'll come and pray with this man and stand with this man right here? You got him? Well, that was easy. Are we covered? Got everybody covered? We got people up there? Can somebody make sure you get to these people up there? You got him? They got you, buddy. You got them? We covered? Somebody back there? Well, what about the one that's going like this? Do you got somebody else? What? Oh, okay. I was like, what? You standing that close? She's all... thought there has to be an explanation. Forget it. Oh, I'm having so much fun. Listen, it's only 9:30. You guys are gamers. Listen, this will be fun. This will be fun. Some of you, if you were healed tonight, your situation, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know if you were healed because it comes and goes, or you'd need a test, or it's something internal. So if you were actually healed tonight, there'd be no physical evidence. You wouldn't actually know it. You're just going to believe you are. Who would that be? Let me see your hands. There's always a handful. So all those hands are up. So look at your person that you're standing with and their hands raised. So they won't know it right now in the moment if they're healed. That means everybody else that's standing would, right? Right? So let's do this real quick. I wasn't going to do it this way, but man, I feel like the Lord's telling me, which is exciting. Because if He's telling me to do it this way, man, He is so in this, right? Yeah, like He's changing my gear. I'm trying to think of you, thinking I preach forever and again and a time and a day. And then He's saying, whoa, listen, stop. I want you to do this. So I feel that in my heart. Take 3 seconds and tell the person that's going to pray with you what you stood for. If it's not too personal, give them the 3-second version. Just tell them, got arthritis pains all through my body. Have a herniated disc. I have a torn rotator cuff. I can't hear out of my ear. Whatever. Just tell them. 3 seconds. You got it? Everybody should know. You got it? Okay. Okay. You got it? Okay, that's good. Let me have your attention. We're going to do this as a family. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. We're going to do this as a family. Okay, some of this stuff's very vital, so I want you to hear. When we pray for you tonight, I don't want you doing all the stuff we've been taught about receiving. I don't want you... Stop. All I want you to do... I really appreciate that you love me. And I know you do, or you'd have never sent your son. Thank you. I just want you, if you stood, to do the most vital thing in your life. Receive the love of God tonight. If you're praying for them, I want you to understand that your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. So don't try to pray hard, right, or powerful. It's a lie. Who's ever got self-conscious praying for the sick and you tried to pray right, powerful, and got heady about what you were going to say? That's self-conscious. That would be works. No wonder things don't happen a lot of times. You're trying way too hard. It's because we're sincere. Not making fun of us. It's happened to me more than I can remember. Your prayer isn't what heals the sick. It's your faith in what He accomplished and His love for them. You could say, be healed in Jesus' name with a revelation, and it's plenty. It's not about praying right or wrong, or we should all go to prayer college. It's His finished work. Yeah? I've seen people healed in my life and never hardly said anything. I remember preaching the power of His name with my hands in my pocket. The Lord made me keep my hands in my pocket. It was crazy. He was teaching. It wasn't irreverent. It wasn't, because it's not works. It's revelation. And I remember 4-stage cancer standing right there and just wept and said, Jesus. Preaching the power of His name. Never even spoke to cancer. Never said a word. But Jesus, so man, I said a word. And 4-stage cancer came out of her body. Have I always seen that and had that result? No, that bothers me. I'm going to keep going after it and keep believing. And oh, I've seen it happen a lot. I haven't seen it happen enough. When it doesn't happen, it's too much. One's too much. You hold a baby and it lives, that's phenomenal. You hold a baby and it dies, that's too much. You don't change what you believe. You don't protect your feelings and emotions. You don't get condemned and believe you fail. You stay in His presence and tell Him you're willing to run and you're ready to go after this thing. And you're not afraid to pick up another baby. God, keep growing me. If you held them, they'd be healed. You're in me. I want to manifest you until my life looks like yours. I haven't arrived. I'm done thinking about it. I'm coming after you. Come on. I wish we'd get that aggressive. So here's what you got tonight. Because I love you, and I'm going to do you a big favor. You already know. You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Because I talk so long. You remember? I'm giving you 6 seconds to pray. It's a gift. Because you can't go wrong in 6 seconds. You can't even try hard in 6 seconds. So if they told you, I just have arthritis symptoms in my joints and my body, and it's pain in my body, and it aches a lot, and I feel it almost all the time. It's just an aching arthritis in my body. Watch, 6 seconds. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for them. Arthritis, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Every trace of pain be gone. Mobility be restored. Because you love them, Father. Who knows, you can believe that. If they told you they have a tore rotator cuff and they can't rotate and work their shoulder right, and doctors are saying they're not sure it'll heal and they might need surgery, but they're just kind of hoping it changes, but it's really biting them when they, Father, I just thank you for your amazing love. Rotator cuff, you be healed, you be restored, no more pain, total flexibility, total range of motion, in Jesus' name. I always acknowledge his love for them. It's just something I do. It's something I teach and encourage you to do, because if there's one thing I feel like we're missing, is receiving personally his love all the time.
Yeah.
Faith works through love. Faith doesn't work because you have a need. Faith works because you have a covenant. Are you ready?
Watch. I know you don't believe this, but I'm not going to talk for 6 seconds. Oh, I'm not going to pray over top you. I don't want people saying, well, we're under the umbrella of your anointing.
These things happen because you're here, brother. You have to relate and understand and accept you're walking in a gift. That's what people try to tell me. I feel like I'm teaching a truth that simplifies your life and gets you out of the way. Remember how many people felt self-conscious when they prayed in the past? That's a problem. So if we can get that out of the way, wow. If you can get reduced back or pulled back to simplicity and reduced back to 6 seconds where you don't have to try hard and pray over all their generations.
We just might see something cool in the room.
So how many people, if you were healed tonight, you would absolutely know it because there's something you can sincerely check without emotion and exaggeration? Okay. So here's what we'll do. I'll give you 6 seconds to pray here in a second or a minute. And the people that wouldn't know if they were healed or not, here's what you do when you pray for them. If their symptom isn't something that's obvious and it's something that comes and goes or there's no way they could tell right now, it's the same faith. It's not an easier place because you're not threatened by a manifested symptom. Stop. It's the same faith. Its healing's the same. So you just pray about that situation. Speak to the mountain. It'll be removed. That's what we're believing. If that's you and you're being prayed for that, wow, Father, as they're praying, thanks for loving me. I appreciate what you do. Thanks for making me whole. I so appreciate your love. That's it. I want you that simple tonight. Anything else that's not allowed tonight? If you would know if you were healed when they're praying for you, it's the same thing. They speak directly to the situation. Rotator cuff be healed. Shoulder you be moved. No more pain. Rotation. Jesus' name. Before you check your shoulder, just take us a good solid second or two of sincerity. Father, I thank you for really, truly loving me. And I thank you for what you're doing in my body and my life. And then sincerely, without hype, no music, sincerely, really give your body a check, whatever that means. I don't want hype. I don't want exaggeration. I don't want you saying what the big-eyed girl that prayed for you is hoping you say. You look at her and go, oh my gosh, she's so excited and sincere, and I still hurt like crazy. No, honey, it's better.
Not accepted tonight.
Because the big brown eye girl, we've already been teaching and we're understanding that faith's not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. And there's no way to fail tonight except if we fail to love. So if we pray and release the kingdom and lay hands on the sick, what shall they do? Recover. So here's what's going to happen in the room. You're going to see this when you pray for the sick in your life at times. You're going to see people healed instantly. You're going to see people somewhat healed in the sense of, wow, I'm noticeably changed. And sometimes things seem to sit there and look back at you and don't change at all. You can't be moved by the second or the third. If your body doesn't change when you're ever prayed for, you can't fall into line and say, what am I doing wrong? Here we go again. I said I'd never stand up for another healing service, but this guy said I need to stand, and here I am again. And nothing changed again. So now I'm going home bummed out again because I'm the one that never gets healed. That is probably not a cool and healthy response. Father, I just know you love me, and I thank you you're doing a work of me. And love doesn't fail, so my faith isn't failing. I thank you. Your hand is upon my life, and you're the one doing a work in my body, and you're the one that's making me whole. Thanks for loving me. That's how your body changes. Not walking out of here wondering what you're doing wrong, what you're doing, and something must be blocking my healing because I can't receive. Okay? We're going to pray. 6 seconds. I'm going to stay quiet and watch my watch. I actually have a second-hand timer, so I'm going to watch it. And when I say, okay, guys, wrap it up, just affirm His love, and we'll be done. And then you check your bodies. Take your time. Be accurate. Don't be exaggerating. Really check your bodies. And as soon as you know your body changed, I want you to let us know. Okay? I don't want hype. I want sincerity. But you watch and see what God does in this room. It's going to be fine. Through you guys. Because you're going to pray from simple faith and you're not going to strive. You all ready? 6 seconds of sincere prayer because He loves them. You ready? Go. Father, thank you. Okay. Wrap it up. Just wrap it up. Just bring it right to a close. Finish that thought and just wrap that up. Because you love them, Father. In Jesus' name. See, that was quick, wasn't it? In Jesus' name. Now, if you were prayed for, just take a second and believe He loves you. And thank Him. If He didn't love you, He'd never send His Son. That's how you know. Amen. Check your bodies for me all over this room, please. Check your bodies. As soon as you know you're healed, I need you to go like this. If you know right away, but even take a second guess or so. Yeah? Yeah? Good. So let me know. Let me see for sure. You know for sure. Good. Check them. Take your time and make sure. Yeah. You, for sure? Yeah, for sure. Good deal. Come on, how about in heavenly places? Anybody up there? I'm looking, man. Anybody else? Anybody here? Back there? Yeah? Right here? Good. Another one? Did I see another one back there? Yeah. Who else? Anybody? Show me. Who wants to tell me what's going on? Who will give a testimony or two or three quick? Here's what I want you to do. Watch. If your body didn't change, please don't disconnect. Stay with us. I've seen this thing like popcorn. It's so fun. Watch. Don't read into a belief because it didn't change. He's a healer and He loves you. Stay there with us. Listen to a couple testimonies, and when you hear the testimony, thank God that He's a healer and thank God for what He did in their life. Don't get tricked into, why do I have such a hard time receiving? Stop. That's helping the problem. No. I'm thankful. I'm a child of God. I am a receiver. And just the way He saved me is just the way He'll heal me. So when you hear these testimonies, thank God that He's a healer and that He loves you, and then check your body again. Watch. There's some folks that didn't receive seemingly anything or didn't change that'll change while they're listening to testimonies, checking their body. When that happens, just start going like this so I know it happened in the moment, okay? Like, yeah, don't be afraid to act like me just for a little. Who has a testimony you want to share what just happened that you raised your hand? Somebody, a bunch of you raised your hand. Yeah, what's going on, dear?
Measles, brain damage, drop foot, leg, hip pain, and the hip pain significantly better right now.
Okay, that's significant.
And I got very much better, and
Okay. Okay. So just explain to us so we can appreciate and understand. How do you know when you say, I got really better? What's that translate into? What's that mean? Just movement, mobility? Yeah? Look at you. You're like, she's like, look like she had a hula hoop on there. Amen. You would know. That's your body. It's good. Who else? You know you changed when we prayed. Who raised your hand? Talk to me, man.
It's the same thing in hip pain, like a sprained hip. And she was laying hands on it, and it got really hot at the time. And then there's zero pain.
Zero pain. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. What was it like before she prayed? Was it always pain? Could you always find pain?
Kind of, always discomfort and pain.
It was just there, and it wasn't hard to find if you looked for it. Was it 24/7?
Pretty much.
How many years? How long?
Like 2 years.
2 years. And right now, zero pain.
Zero.
Do you ever have zero pain in the last 2 years?
Not zero.
Okay, so you know it's changed. I just want us to appreciate so we're not just, oh wow, his pain's gone. Because it was a 2-year reality for you. And it's different right now. Anybody else? Who will testify? You know something changed. I saw other hands. Yes, sir. Right here.
I had 7 back surgeries. Got arthritis in my lower back. And I'm in constant pain. And I have more pain right now.
Come on. Yeah. You're tearing me up. Jesus! Sir, let's quiet down a minute. He's just crying, man. It's the most beautiful picture. I'm glad you cried. Don't ever be ashamed to cry. I love it when guys cry. That bend thing you just did, that bend thing, would you have even tried to do that before? Would you even have, what would that have done before if you'd have bend like that? Excruciating. So that's why you're crying, because that's that real to you, that's... You know, and he blesses my heart. I don't know him, but you've been sitting there all weekend, man, in that chair, just listening and watching. I'm preaching, and he just sitting there like that. You're just a lot of fun to me. And here he is just crying, and there's no pain. I just love it. Stay teachable. Keep growing. God's doing an amazing thing in us. Amen? Amen. Who else? You have a testimony. You know you were changed when we prayed for you. Come on, I see another hand. Don't be ashamed to speak up. Who's anybody else? You know your body changed. Yeah? Over here quick. Speak up, honey. Okay, that's awesome. Not even at all. Crank it on it, dude. That's awesome. That's awesome. Somebody was over here? Yeah, what's up?
Blood clot a year and a half ago with my full leg. I woke up with pain all morning. It was hard to get a pain wash. She prayed for me. Pain's gone right now.
Gone. Okay. I believe I'll never come back. Okay, let me ask you a quick question. Quick question. I know it's getting late. Quick question. Who did we pray for? You didn't raise your hand because it's not all the way healed, but it's definitely somewhat changed, noticeably different, and it got better, if you will. Who is that? Raise your hand high so we can all see. Ooh, we got some up there in heavenly places. Look at that. We got some movement up in the high realms. Okay, look at these hands. This is awesome. Steve, yeah? So you had some increase. Okay, when I have increase in a person in momentum, if I'm the one praying, and I see their body got better, they're usually in agreement. You say, hey, listen, let's just pray one more time. If God changed you 50%, 30%, 70%, 80%, let's just believe for the manifestation of 100%, and we just pray again, right? So I won't give you that liberty here to do that, but let me ask this final question. Who, when we prayed for in the room, please don't be hindered, setback, or troubled by this. Be honest and let's just do this because it's not a bad thing. Who in this room, when we prayed for you, nothing seemed to change and your condition seems exactly the same? Let me see your hands. Raise them up for me. Is your person still in the room that prayed for you? Is the person still around? Don't look for another person. Don't look around and say, oh, I'm getting her, man. When she prayed, that dude's body changed. Stop. Now listen, listen. So let me see your hands again. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Your person here? Make sure your person's here. If your person's not here, grab another person and tell them what it is. But if your person's here, I want the same person to pray with them. Now watch. I don't want you to change your prayer. I want you to pray the same thing you believed the first time. The people that receive somewhat, make sure you tell your person and have them pray for you again for 6 seconds. But this is who I'm addressing right now. The people that nothing changed, I want you all prayed for again for just 6 more seconds. Let's just see what happens. Would you? You have fun with this?
Yeah.
Yes.
The same person pray and don't change your prayer. Don't grab for straws. Yeah. Same prayer. You ready? Yes. Believe He loves you. Go ahead. 6 seconds. Do it. All across the room. Okay. Start to wind that down and wrap that up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Thank you, God, you love us, right? You love me, Lord. Check your bodies, especially the people that had no change, no change. Check your bodies right now. The ones that had some change, check your bodies too. But I want the people that had no change, I'm talking to that group. Check your bodies and let us know if anything changed that time. Anything, whether completely changed or somewhat changed. I want to see if anything changed that time. Check it out. I'll give you a few moments. Okay, right now I need to see your hands. You should be checking by now. Anybody changed that was in that group that had no change the first time? Let me see. Anybody? Anybody? Back there in the back? Yeah? Are you raising your hand? You're saying something changed?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Nothing the first time? Okay. Did it change all the way or just somewhat? All the way. Didn't change at all the first time. That teaches us something right there, right? That truth doesn't change and faith doesn't change when you don't see a result. Faith has to stay the same. All of a sudden they prayed the first time, nothing. Second time, it's completely gone, that situation, okay? Anybody else? Check your bodies. You didn't change the first time, but something got better or changed completely. Let me see your hands. Anybody? Okay. Okay. Yeah, you for sure. Changed a little bit. Okay, but that's good. So here's the deal. I'm not afraid to ask this stuff, guys, because you say, well, wonder if nothing changed in people. It doesn't change truth and it doesn't change faith. Yeah. So when we pray again, we're not risking anything. And look, he changed and he changed a little because we just kept believing. Wonder if we just keep believing. Wonder who else will change. And wonder who else will change more. And are we learning something here? Come on. The biggest deception is for you to take face value of what happened or didn't happen, internalize it, interpret it, and not come out in faith. Is there anybody we prayed for that changed somewhat that time and you got even better or all the way? Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah? Good. Yeah? Yeah? 3, 4? Ooh. Does that teach us something? So results doesn't change truth and doesn't change faith. Lack of results doesn't change truth, change faith is what I'm saying. So we prayed and believed the second time, little 6 second window, and things changed that didn't change before. So what happens if we continue to live in that place? What happens if you walk home tonight? Drive home, drive. You don't have to walk unless you live right in the street. Sorry, I'm not prophesying all your cars won't start. Forgive me. I don't know what came over me. You drive home tonight, you get to your home, and you go to bed. Man, be encouraged and be freshening up whatever you do at the sink. You're doing whatever you do. Wow, God, thank you for that person that surrounded me today in faith. I could tell they were sincere. I appreciate the teaching. You're doing a work in me. You're changing my body. You're changing my life. Man, I'm glad I went tonight. Thank you for loving me, Lord. I've learned that people don't do that when they're alone. They ask for prayer, but they don't do that when they're alone. The only one that can keep you from not doing that when you're alone is you.
So do that when you're alone.
Tonight. Amen?
Yes.
I'm done. I'm going to turn it over to Him. I love you. It's been fun. And I'm so glad I got to be with you guys.